The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Covenant Network invites you to join Patty Schneier as she and her guests talk about one of the greatest moments in our lives, when we discover our personal vocation from God, our pearl of great price. From that point on, nothing is the same. Our yes determines our unique pathway to holiness and how we will live for Christ here on earth. Join her to hear inspiring stories of discernment, response, perseverance, and joy. And now, here is Patty Schneier.
And welcome to another edition of The Pearl of Great Price, the show that celebrates the beauty of every vocation and the joy in living it out. My name is Patty Schneier. I'm your host here on Covenant Network. And it's a great day, no matter what you are doing, to grow in your relationship and your love of our Lord. I hope that this radio station helps you to do just that. Today, we are going to meet Father Mark Wiedig, a Dominican priest who recently moved to the Archdiocese of St. Louis in his new role as president of the Aquinas Institute of Theology. And so we are excited to get to know him and hear his story, as well as welcome him to Covenant Network for the first time. But before we meet Father Wiedig, I'd like to share a few words of inspiration from my daily saints book. I have this old saints book, but it's really one of my favorite books because it gives a reflection for the day, and it brings some of these saints from the dark and middle ages to life, literally, for me. And quite often the reflection is about the importance of a great teacher. Because let's face it, many saints were teachers themselves or were greatly influenced by teachers. Here are some quotes to ponder. And again, this just comes from my saints book. But this first quote I love: a great teacher is a great treasure, and saints have been made from the influence of a great teacher. Most of us have reason to be grateful to those who taught us and those who molded our lives toward goodness. Knowledge, joined to holiness of life, has always had its own special power and attraction, which can be seen in the lives of the saints. And here's another quote. A love of holy learning is at the heart of any Christian culture, and the saints realized that there is more to religion than good intentions and goodwill. A holy environment is also necessary, and holy surroundings are conducive to a holy life. Many saints delighted in learning, teaching, and writing, and realized that without holiness of life, teaching falls flat. It is the personal influence of the teacher that fashions goodness in others, not the mere passing on of information. Those who become great teachers are mindful of this. End quote. So why do I bring up teaching today? And what does this have to do with vocations? Well, very often a teacher, sometimes without even knowing it, fosters holy vocations. In my own life, it was a teacher who first introduced me to my husband on our very first day of high school. Teachers have inspired many future priests and religious to follow Christ more closely. Priests and religious who themselves teach give witness to so many with their holiness of life, their enthusiasm, and their love. And parents, never forget that you are the primary educators of your children. You are called to teach the faith and provide that holy environment in your own home. So today, think about your own vocation. And if you were influenced by a teacher, thank God for that person. And pray that you will continue to be a lifelong learner of the faith so that you can pass on to others and give an explanation to anyone who asks the reason for your hope. Our guest today, Father Mark Wiedig, has been in schools quite a lot in his life. He was born and raised in New Orleans, and he entered the Dominicans 40 years ago. He attended Southern Methodist University for his bachelor's degree. He holds a Master of Divinity degree from the Dominican School of Philosophy and Theology, and a Master's in Theology from the Graduate Theological Union, and he holds a PhD in Liturgical Studies from the Catholic University of America. For 25 years, he was in education. He taught and was in administration at Barry University in Miami, Florida. And since July of 2019, he has been here in St. Louis as president of the Aquinas Institute of Theology. Well, Father Wiedick, welcome to the Pearl of Great Price radio show.
Well, it's great to be here with you.
And
today,
thank you so much for your vocation and your yes, and so many years in education. What a legacy. I mean, how many students have you taught in all of those years?
Quite a few. I stopped counting how many students I've taught over the years.
I'm sure. But that's why I wanted to talk about the influence of a teacher is just priceless in so many people's lives, in my own in particular. So I want to thank you for your vocation, both as a priest and as an educator.
Well, I love your quotes because my own vocation is that of both teacher and priest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been my entire life as a Dominican.
So. I love it. Well, let's get to the story of your vocation. So what were some of maybe the early seeds in your childhood, or what was it like growing up in your family? You're born and raised in New Orleans. How was your family maybe typical, or maybe were there some things that were unique?
Well, New Orleans is, I think, probably a lot like St. Louis in that they're very Catholic cities.
Yes, absolutely.
Matter of fact, most New Orleanians know or identify themselves by the parish that they live in, as well as very often by the Catholic high school that they went to.
Which, of course, I'm sure you found out is what we do here in St. Louis as well.
Exactly.
Where'd you go to high school?
Yes, and that's actually quite common in New Orleans. So in some ways, I see some similarities
yes.
to St. Louisans, as well as also the influence of the French.
Sure.
So in some ways, there are a lot of similarities, I think, in terms of how I grew up. I grew up in a typical, traditional Catholic family. My mother and my father both were Catholic, both raised Catholic. All my grandparents were. So again, I was raised in a fairly traditional Catholic environment.
Sure.
And again, my family was very involved in the church. Beautiful. So again, I was nurtured in a typical, I would
sure.
say, or a very intact Catholic environment.
Sure. Did you think you would be a priest at a young age? Did you, you know, some people say I knew at a very young age, or there were big signs early on in my age. What was it like for you? Or was it more later, a gradual thing in school? When did you first make the faith your own or hear the calling to the priesthood?
Well, again, because I was raised in the context the faith was given to me by my family and its environment, yes, I was raised in a typical Catholic household where a young man probably would have thought, and I did, about becoming a priest very early on. I can remember as many young boys did say Mass, and can remember making my sister be a nun.
I'm the priest, you're the nun.
Roles were very clear and defined in many ways in terms of that. So yes, in some ways, I'm sure the seed of my own vocation was sown very early on in life and through the context of growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But typical of all of our growing up, of all of our development and maturation, there was what happened to me independently
sure.
in relationship to God's Spirit in my early adulthood that was very formational and had everything to do with a more intentional and more specific vocational calling in life.
And how did that happen for you in your life? Was it through teachers or was it through a retreat? What was it for you? Where did you start hearing, you know, that the mature call
what
to the priesthood?
What really crystallized my own vocation, and it sounds kind of funny because I went to Southern Methodist University, to SMU, but it was actually while I was at that university that my vocation was sown.
Really?
And it was because, first of all, I was a medieval studies major, something that is not all that common, a history major, but specifically medieval studies. I was very interested, of course, in my own religious order, which was founded in the Middle Ages.
Right.
But it was really crystallized by a group of students, all who were colleagues of mine in historical study. And we were associated with a group of medievalists in the university, all themselves who were Catholics, practicing Catholics. And we were also involved in the campus ministry of the university, the Catholic campus ministry
okay.
of the university. And several of my friends who were in medieval studies themselves became Roman Catholics while we were in college, and asked me, one of them asked me to sponsor them as a Catholic into the faith.
How beautiful.
And so in some ways, those things were very, very key in sowing a vocation. And we would, as friends, read spiritual classics. We were reading in those days the works of Thomas Merton. We were doing reading and exploration of the faith that really led us more deeply into our own vocations. Uh-huh. Not everyone from that group became priests or sisters, but many of us really did have a more explicit vocation that was sown during that period.
That's awesome. Beautiful. And that's great to hear that. Again, we all know God works anywhere, everywhere, on a Methodist university. There you are, but at the Catholic Center, and that's where those seeds were sown, which is great. But how were you introduced to the Dominicans?
Well, I've known the Dominicans all my life. I was baptized by a Dominican friar in my hometown. I grew up in St. Dominic Parish.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So I've known the Dominicans from the time I can ever remember. I was an altar server in the Dominican parish growing up as a kid.
Okay.
So I've known the Dominicans all my life. Now, interestingly enough, while I was in college in Dallas, Texas, I had a brother who was 2 years older than me, who was at the University of Dallas, a small Catholic college, actually on the outskirts of Dallas in those days in Irving. And the Dominicans had a big, huge priory right in the middle of campus. Yeah. And so I would often meet my brother for evening prayer, either at the Dominicans or at the Cistercians, both who had houses at the University of Dallas. And so my vocation was also sown in that context.
Sure.
And there.
That's awesome.
So I knew the Dominicans in Dallas. Mm. I knew them growing up all my life in the parish.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, when I finally entered the order, I turned back to the priory in my hometown and in New Orleans, in my parish, and really entered through the counsel and the spiritual direction of one of the Dominicans who was housed there at the priory. But I knew the Dominicans also in Dallas, where I was also in college, where my brother was also in college.
That's awesome. So, yeah, you were just surrounded by the Dominicans. They were there your whole life. They were there walking with you through your whole journey.
When it was time to think about a vocation, I was intricately interested in community life. But I knew the Dominicans and loved the Dominicans from the time of my youth and knew them uniquely because of the Dominican life and the role of community in Dominican life.
I was going to say, what was it that drew you then to say, this is it for me? Is that the key for you of what made you fall in love then? You know, you can know somebody your whole life, but then to fall in love with that special charism that was Dominican, was that what it was, the community
life? And it was.
Life?
My vocation was not first to the priesthood. It was first to the Dominicans. I wanted to be a friar. I wanted to live in community.
Okay.
I knew that I was interested in the intellectual life. I thought that I would someday maybe become a teacher or a professor.
And that all fit.
And these things all were sort of coming together. And what I was interested specifically was the call to life in community with other friars. To pray the divine office, to live in community, to share meals, to share community life together. That was the calling primarily for me. I so entered an order, the Dominicans, which also has a very long history of clerics, of priests in the order, and the call to be a preacher and a teacher also went along with that calling to become ordained a priest.
Sure. Awesome. That is awesome. Well, tell us about the lifestyle or the qualities or some of the great Dominicans and saints or anything that you want to tell us about the Dominican order, because many people may not, like you, have ever been surrounded by Dominicans or know. I mean, I know the official name is the Order of Preachers and a very intellectual order community. You have many degrees and you said that all fit. So what would you like people to know you know, here in St. Louis, we have Dominicans here in St. Louis, of course, but perhaps people that live in some of the outlying areas and in the smaller communities that are in a part of our listening audience of Covenant Network, they may not have ever seen a Dominican or mm-hmm. know anything about them. What would you like them to know?
First of all, the Dominicans are, as you said, the order of preachers. We're called the Dominicans because of St. Dominic, and we're very often known that way. Yet the official name of our religious order is the Order of Preachers. And our calling to the intellectual life is first of all and foremost the calling to be preachers. So we are formed as preachers. Mm. Our desire to study, to know the tradition of the church, to explore faith in relationship to culture is always punctuated by being a preacher and being able to articulate how the Word of God constantly is in time and place and in culture, and reflecting on specifically how God's Word is manifest in us. So the Dominican calling is first and foremost and always a calling as a calling of preachers. We are called to preach. We're called to teach, yes. And Dominic understood preaching not simply that which you did at the pulpit or in the ambo in church on Sunday. He, in fact, primarily understood preaching as we might call catechetics today.
Sure.
Teaching, mm-hmm. explaining, mm-hmm. helping others to grow in their understanding. That's what really Dominic understood as preaching. So you can see our calling is very much related sure. to fulfilling that charism of preaching.
Right, right. So what have been some of your greatest joys as a Dominican friar? So 40 years now, you've been in the community, you've known them your entire life. But what have been some of those moments when you thought, I am so glad, or thank you, Lord, that I am here now and have just experienced whatever it was? What are some, have been some of those moments for you in your life?
Well, as I said, I loved the Dominicans all my life. I grew up with them, and I still love them just as much.
Which is great. It's always good 40 years later, if you're, whether you're married or not, or whether you're in the celibate vocation, it's always good 40 years later to say, I still love this, right?
And I do. I still love the Dominicans very much. And probably what I love the most of the Dominicans is our brother and sisterhood, because mm-hmm. the Dominicans are the order of preachers. We are friars that live in community, mm-hmm. but we're also our cloistered sisters, our nuns,
sure.
and then our active sisters, yeah. and then a very large community of the laity.
Right, Third Order Dominicans.
Third Order Dominicans, right. or the laity. So what I really love about the Dominicans is our expansive family. I first of all love the friars who I live with mm-hmm. and lived with for the last 40 years mm-hmm. and live with them in community. By and large, the friars, as I have experienced them, are wonderful men, mm. kind, compassionate, dedicated men who I have really experienced in life. And so my primary experience of the Dominicans is really growing out of the love of that brotherhood in community, and I still love that life very much. I also love the fact that we are dedicated, our motto or the Dominican order is dedicated to truth. Of course, we understand the truth to be Jesus Christ,
right.
but we are dedicated to the truth, and so our pursuit of the truth is a lifetime endeavor. Our life of study, our life in conversation with others, teaching, exploring, explaining, is a life constantly pursuing the truth.
And that is so crucial, because boy, do we need truth in our world today. But you're right, that pursuit of truth, it changes everything.
It is. And so again, that is fundamental. Some people will say to me, well, what do the Dominicans do? What are the Dominicans about? And I said, the Dominicans are always in pursuit of the truth. Of mm-hmm. course, we understand the truth to be Jesus Christ. But we all know, for us human beings, the journey to Jesus Christ, understanding Jesus Christ, is a lifetime endeavor.
It is. And I always go back to, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I always go back to, when we read The Passion and when Pontius Pilate says, what is truth? I always think, That is the question of humanity right there. And of course, Jesus Christ is right in front of him. He's staring at truth and doesn't recognize it. But all of us have to come to that point in our life where, whether we're born and raised Catholic or not, is like, is this truth? Do I believe it? And what is truth? Mm-hmm. And it can't just be truth for me and truth for you and truth, you know, what is the truth? And so I love that. I know in my own life that has been crucial. So it's good to know there is an entire order dedicated to the pursuit of truth.
And it's in our history. Of course, our greatest saints, many of them, are people whose lives, whose writings, whose teachings have been about the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably known best in some ways other than St. Dominic himself. We're known by Thomas Aquinas. Who is, again, one of the great doctors of the church, one of the great teachers of the church.
Sure.
We live very much still in the Catholic Church in the legacy of St. Thomas Aquinas,
yes.
His teaching, his writings, his preachings. We're also known for other Dominicans, St. Albert the Great, actually, who was the teacher of St. Thomas Aquinas,
mm-hmm.
or Meister Eckhart, the more mystical theologian.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're also known by some of our sister Dominican theologians, Catherine of Siena.
She's one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorite Dominican saints.
Yeah, we like to brag as Dominicans that we have a lot of saints.
But
and it's
you
true,
do.
We
you do. Absolutely. Well, I want to make sure that we get to this question, Father Wiedig. If you've just joined us, we're talking with Father Mark Wiedig. He is the new president of the Aquinas Institute of Theology here in St. Louis. And so my next question to you is, in your new assignment here in St. Louis, for those who don't know, what is the Aquinas Institute of Theology? Who can attend? And what are your goals for the Institute?
First of all, let me talk just for a moment about who and what is Aquinas Institute.
Yes, please.
So Aquinas Institute, first of all, is the Center for Institutional Studies for the Friars of two provinces, the province of St. Albert the Great, which is the Midwest province, and the province of St. Martin de Porres, which is the Southern province. So you might just say it's the Center for Institutional Studies. We don't use that term in Dominicans, but you might call it the seminary for the Dominican friars in the middle part of the United States. We have four American provinces. So it's the Dominicans in the middle part of the United States. So we are the Center for Institutional Studies, the Center for Theology and Philosophy for those friars. So we're first of all that.
Sure.
And we have our friars studying there. Very important part of our mission is also that our friars are in the classroom with lay men and women who are also studying for the church's ministries
mm-hmm.
and apostolates. So teaching, healthcare, catechesis, all the various ways in which laymen and women serve the church are also in our programs. So our institute is a school of graduate theology. The primary degree, you might say the bedrock degree, is the Master of Divinity degree. We also have, of course, a Master's of Arts in Theology. Many of our students also do the MA and the MDiv. We have a Master's of Arts in Pastoral Studies. We also have some signature programs that involve priests and laity and other people studying. And we have a very well-known Doctor of Ministry in Preaching.
Oh, wow.
So we teach the teachers of preachers.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So the Doctor of Ministry in Preaching, it's a terminal degree, a final degree, specifically for teachers of preachers.
Wow.
We also have a very fine program in healthcare mission in which we're also helping people who are in Catholic healthcare to claim the Catholic identity of their healthcare institution.
Boy, and that's huge.
Something important.
Very. So if you're listening and you're in any way associated with healthcare, you may want to Google the Aquinas Institute of Theology, find out what they have, see what's available for you, or just get as much information as you can.
Absolutely.
Where can people go to, what's the website if people are interested?
Again, come to www.ai.edu.
AI for Aquinas Institute.
For AquinasInstitute.edu.
Okay, so that's awesome. And I do want to ask, final question for you, your goals for the Institute. You are now the new president of it. And what do you hope as you take over the reins of the Aquinas Institute and continue your ministry here in St. Louis?
Of course, probably the most important thing that I do is to help the institution to continually claim and to help identify itself as a Dominican institution. So that's extremely important. So our Dominican mission, our Dominican ethos, our Dominican hallmarks are extremely important. One of the most important things I do is to continually call the institution back to its mission and purpose as a Dominican and Catholic institution.
Sure. Well, that charism, that identity is everything.
Is extremely important. One of the things that I see that I'm doing right now, and I'm very happy to be doing it, is I've created something called Aquinas Scholars at Aquinas Institute since I've been there. And these are full-paid scholarships with also housing, book stipends, and also allowances for board for people, full-paid scholarships for lay people to study at our institution. So again, we've created these Aquinas Scholars. We're very happy to have some very generous people who have come forward to create these scholarships for men and women to study at our institution, who are interested in graduate theology, who are interested in serving the church, and who, in many ways, as we know, men and women who are studying and working for the church in all these dimensions very often can't indebt themselves in terms of their education, because our tuition is also expensive, like all private tuition is.
Sure.
But these scholarships permit students to come. Again, they're merit-based and they're somewhat competitive, yet at the same time, we are very happy. It's been a very important feature that I have created since I have been there, and we're very happy to be promoting these.
That's exciting and wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, Father Wiedig, we are out of time already. Unfortunately, the time goes by so fast. So we need to conclude, as we always do, praying for holy vocations. So we can pray together, please. And then if we could have your blessing.
Absolutely.
All right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, bless your church with an abundance of priests, deacons, brothers, and sisters. Give those you have called to marriage and those you have chosen to live as single persons in the world the special graces that their lives need. Form all of us into the likeness of your Son, so that in him, with him, and through him, we may love you more deeply and serve you more faithfully. And Father, help me to know and to live my vocation with Mary. I ask this through Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Wiedig, for being our guest today on The Pearl of Great Price.
It's been wonderful being with you.
All right. Join us next time for The Pearl of Great Price. Until then, go to pattyschneier.com to hear previously recorded broadcasts. Click on the radio show tab and share the link with family and friends. This is Patty Schneier reminding you to seek the will of God in all things and strive for holiness.